Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Random Chatter. This is our top three news stories of the week. And since we don't have any show notes, I'm going to rely on Eric to bring us up to speed on what these top three news stories
are. Since we didn't
are.
Do one last week, it's top three stories of 2 weeks in one show.
It's either top three of 2 weeks or top six of each week.
There has not been a whole lot of pop culture.
It really hasn't. I think the entire world that we are in tune with is just exhausted right now.
Yeah. I mean, there's been some like very, very niche stuff like in Marvel that we're covering on Guardians. But even like then, it's just like not much of it is really heavy. You know, we've had a couple of date shifts. We have, you know, finally the announcement for Black Widow, which we think is going to be firm that, and, you know, day and date release in the theaters with premium Disney
and
Plus
trailer,
and all that.
Right.
So like, that's great. But yeah, we have the new trailer that they released with that. But like, that's been the big thing for that's probably the biggest news in the last 3 weeks. Like there's just isn't a whole heck of a lot.
Well, you know, we talked before about Zack Snyder and the Justice League, and we kind of gave our thoughts about the film, but we didn't get around to talking about The Thing. Not the movie, The Thing.
That's an MCU
character. No, not the MCU character.
The Thing.
And not the John Carpenter movie.
Oh.
And not Zack Snyder's The Thing. Like, that's not a thing. I mean the other thing. Mm. The thing that we have been talking about ever since people started clamoring for the Snyder Cut in the first place. And that is this sense that audience members have this sense of entitlement about their fandoms. Just a little bit.
Did you say Star Wars?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it's worse in Star Wars than it is anywhere else, but that's what scares me a little bit, because they got the Zack Snyder cut made. And I agree with that decision. Like, and we were all saying, yeah, it's not going to happen. There is no Zack Snyder cut, which at the time there wasn't. I mean, they had to dump, what, $90 million to make one.
They said it wasn't going to happen. They said it wasn't going to happen, right. And there was no Snyder cut.
And we had...
But there was. It was on his laptop.
But even then, it wasn't... I mean, it was $90 million away from being finished, too. And then arguably, if you want to talk about some of the effects, probably more like about $150 million away from being finished.
True. I mean, it was on paper in his head.
He had a vision, and I'm not dissing that at all, but that sort of thing typically is not done. We all agree on that. And we all thought that this is just yet another extension of this mentality that people have where you owe me what I want. And even though you're a creative, you owe me my creative vision for what you're making, not what your creative vision is. You owe me my creative vision. And the fact that there are, you know, 300 million people that are going to watch this movie, it doesn't matter. The 299,999,999, my vision.
Right.
And the problem is they
personalized movies.
And the next time we get a Star Wars movie or any a Star Trek movie, maybe the next Dune film. I'm not a big Dune fan, but I don't know anything that we get now where it's a franchise movie where there's a big fan following and people have expectations that are really high and they don't like it. We want the real cut. And we already ran into that with episode 8.
Yeah. It's fans. And the thing is, it's nothing new that fans are so emboldened to do it. And, you know, I mean, folks know that for years, I've had an issue with people going to. What's the
website.org?
Oh, there we go.
The site that will not be named.
To.
Yeah.
Yeah. To, you know, create these petitions or change.org was created for humanitarian stuff.
Things that matter.
And all these jack wagons are going on there. It is now more often than anything else being used for ridiculous pop culture things, which is just absolutely ludicrous and stupid. And it's not the intent of it. And let's be honest, these things are not important. They simply aren't. And, you know, I mentioned Star Wars, and very similar to the Snyder Cut, which, as we talked about, I enjoyed it. I thought certainly thought it was better than the theatrical release.
Yeah.
We had in Star Wars, we had the big movement for bring back the Clone Wars. And I'm so torn with that because part of me, I really enjoyed the Clone Wars. I loved the last season that they brought back for it. But I was also really aggravated fundamentally that like this group of fans, and I'm sure a lot of that group of fans were totally fine and respectful and all that stuff. But the fans that you come to actually become familiar with are the ones who are on social media, and they're very aggressive and they're very disrespectful. And they, you know, just kind of seem to have this ilk about them. And those are the ones who basically they won and they got emboldened by this. And I was really aggravated by the fact that.
So
that
here's
they
the
won.
Thing, though.
And you have a very similar group who's in this like bring back Legends thing. And it's like, and they're still fighting that. It's like Legends is the books are there. You can still read them, but Lucasfilm is not going to like, quote, bring back those stories. They're not going to mainline
those stories
again.
That's
not like
a year ago. That's been that way for how long now?
Exactly.
Yeah.
But in this group is like still active.
Yeah, but it's getting a lot more traction nowadays, I think, and it's getting more.
Well, and they succeeded
too.
Now, so like whatever traction it got before, but, and like now it's got a crazy amount of traction. But
yeah, but you know, one thing I wanted to bring up, and we started to hint at this last week when we talked about the Snyder Cut and stuff. But one thing that I think is really wrong about this whole thing is that we got the cut that he made, right? But this is not the cut that would have ever seen the
but
big screen.
I understand your point with that, but I think that, let me hold on to that for 1 second, because Tim, to one of your points, I think that there is a difference between saying we want more of this and saying that thing you made was crap, throw it away and redo it. So when people say they want more Clone Wars, or when people say they want more of Community, which got picked up on a different network, or, you know, these, saving a show, that to me, that's done out of love. That's done out of appreciation. And that's a different sort of thing. The Legends thing and the Snyder Cut, where you say this thing is crap, throw it away and give me something different. Give me a different version of it. And let's make no mistake about it. The Joss Whedon version of the Justice League was crap.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it still doesn't mean that that's something that you should just expect to have happen. So I think there is a difference between saying, let's save something versus let's throw it away and remake it. And Lou, to your point, I agree with you. We never would have gotten this cut in the theaters. But the only reason that we got a 4-hour cut instead of a 3-hour cut is because at this point he got to. So it's still the milestones. And we talked about this in the review too. The milestones that were hit in the Snyder cut that were different from the Whedon cut still would have been there. The visual tone.
Yeah.
With the removal of the oversaturated colors and instead going more toward a darker monotone, that would have been there. The removal of the over-sexualization of Wonder Woman, the surfer dude-ish of Aquaman, the incompetence of the Flash, like all of these different character points, the uselessness of Cyborg, those would have changed.
All I'm trying to get to, though, is I think that what he would have released in the theaters, people still would have complained about. they're stealing people. Maybe not to the extent they did, and I'm sure it would have been a much better movie than what we got originally. But people still would have complained about it.
Yeah, probably. I mean, there were people that complained about what we got, too. Some people said it was bloated.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
way too long and should have been trimmed down. But I think there's a different level of take the whole thing and throw it away. There are still petitions out there saying to now not just to remove Star Wars Episode 8 and remake it, but to just throw the whole sequel trilogy away and redo the entire thing. And I guess my concern about the Zack Snyder cut succeeding isn't so much about the Zack Snyder cut. Because, frankly, that was an improvement. And I think that was the right decision. But now that the fans have succeeded in making that happen, my concern is it set a precedent for anything that happens in the future now. I mean, now we're talking about getting a different cut of the first Suicide Squad movie. Which, listen, Warner Brothers meddles. Especially when it comes to the DC stuff. So even the director of the first Suicide Squad movie, like, again, he's like, that's not the movie I wanted to make. And we talked about that back when the movie was happening. The fact that they went through and made like three different, nope, start over and do this. Nope, wait, scrap that, start over and do this other thing. They messed with that Suicide Squad movie really, really badly.
Mm-hmm.
So I have no doubts that that would be an improvement as well. And then if they succeed, and that's an improvement, and that would be the right decision for that movie. But now going forward, the audience is going to have...
No movie is safe.
Huh?
No movie is safe.
The audience is going to have this opinion that if your movie sucks, I'm just going to bitch about it until you remake it into something I like. And that's not what it's supposed to be.
You know, we're not making movies in a democratic process here. We're not going to put it to a vote and say, what do you guys want? No.
And yet, that just happened.
That's not the way this works.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. That's not the way the industry works. But the problem is, I think in part two, Warner Brothers as a studio, when it's come to the DC stuff, they look at what's happening with Marvel, and it's like high school, right? They're looking at the popular kids, and they're like, well, I make stuff too. Why am I not popular? I have superheroes.
Right.
My superhero is even more powerful than your superheroes, and people like you better. Why don't they like me too? And Warner Brothers, I think, fumbled around and flailed so much that they messed everything up. They meddled too much. They didn't let the directors who actually had a vision with what to do with these follow through that vision. The corporate people got involved and things were a mess. And so, Sure. Yeah, the movies that get fixed are going to be better. But that doesn't mean that the entire industry is supposed to operate this way. And I kind of worry that we got one, we're leaning toward another one. I don't know. Do you guys think this is going to stick around? Do you think this is going to become a thing?
I think that the limits of it are going to be the tolerance of Hollywood.
Okay.
Because obviously these things cost money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they have to look at how much money they are going to make in a re-release. And I think that even the, you know, and I say the production team in the broadest sense, that's these are the producers, the writers, the directors, and then even extending then into the talent. You know, are they going to have any interest in, you know, reshooting 25% of a movie months after they had already finished doing it to then come back and change, you know, some pivotal parts of the story and redo the ending simply because people out there didn't like it, with the hope that this time around people will like it. You know, there's no guarantee in it. You know, can Hollywood hedge against it by, you know, maybe changing their strategy in doing, you know, previews and that kind of stuff, you know, unfinished viewings and that kind of thing, you know, to closed audiences, to get opinions from them. Yeah, sure. They, you know, they can probably hedge against some of that too. I also think that there's a big part of this, which is obviously fueled by simply by communication. And I think that in a lot of ways, I think we certainly see it with social media, that if I saw a movie and I thought, you know, a pretty decent movie, I, you know, there's things that I liked. And then I start to read a bunch of reviews and I see a bunch of posts on social media, and I see that so many people overwhelmingly didn't like the movie. That can be pretty influential. And I'll admit that I've been influenced by that, and my opinion has changed because, not because other people didn't like it, but because they bring up points about it, which are critical points. And it's fair to say, well, yeah, but there was this, and there was this, and there was this, and there was this, therefore the movie sucked.
We've had that happen on Movie Chatter, where, you know, I've gone into movies thinking I liked it and I walk out and I don't, or that I don't. And then Robin and Lou bring up points, and then I do.
And the thing is, you can't hedge against those things. So, I don't know. I think it's going to come down eventually to Hollywood saying, you know what? We made a movie. We made it once. If you didn't like it, sorry. How much can they get into this, like, subservient position to the
fans?
That's
a good point, too, because I think, like, a lot of studios, they make a movie. People, oh, we don't like it. Remake it. A lot of these studios are going to be like, psh, you know, whatever. And they're just going to move
on. They'll get remade in 20 years.
Warner Brothers had a problem with their DC superheroes, and they couldn't afford to just walk away and let that be the fan perspective. So there's a brand protection there, too, that most other studios with most other franchises, it wouldn't be an issue. I mean, you've got that with DC, Marvel, Star Wars, Star Trek, and what? What else is there that is so, let's say, sacred that you couldn't have a bad film come out and people say, this one wasn't that great. Wait for the next one. I mean, James Bond, there have been some good, some bad. People move on and catch the next one and hope that that one's good. Fast and Furious, you know, name a franchise, the fans get over it, except with the big four. And even with Star Wars and Star Trek, Paramount and Lucasfilm, we're moving on. And hopefully Lucasfilm learns from their mistakes. Hopefully Paramount learns from their mistakes. But I don't think DC was plagued with, I mean, they made good financial numbers, but fan perspective, it was bomb after bomb after bomb until Wonder Woman.
Mm-hmm. Right. But, you know, Eric, I think you hit it right in the head, though. I mean, this is not something that every studio is going to pick up the ball and run with. But now that the fans know they succeeded, you know, they got a win under their belt, are they going to do this more? Is it going to be now, you know, cancel culture for everything?
Right.
And no, get rid of that and do this. And are studios going to be held hostage by the fans now when it comes down to it? Will they, you know, we said a lot of these studios would never do that.
Right.
But now that's been done, will they consider it?
Well,
consider stuff like this.
It kind of brings us to the second point for today. There are people trying to boycott Warner Brothers. Ironically, the people that are happy, I love the internet. The very people who won are now trying to boycott Warner Brothers.
For what reason?
Because Warner Brothers should make the Snyder Cut canon. And they say they're not going to.
Oh, God.
So we're boycotting what the people who won. Warner Brothers gave them what they wanted because they complained so much. And now they're like, you didn't give us enough. So now we're boycotting all your stuff. Here's my thing, though. To your point, Lou, I think people are going to continue to do it. I don't think the studios are going to care. I don't think they're going to listen. Maybe Warner Brothers will, because again, Warner Brothers has a big quality control problem with their DC stuff that they're trying to fix. Everybody else, Let the internet blow up. They don't care. It's us that have to deal with the blowout. It's the podcasters and the YouTubers and anybody who, you know, wakes up and pulls up Twitter on their phone before they roll out of bed. We are the ones that have to deal with all the yelling and screaming. I don't think the studios really care. And the boycott. So first of all, what are you boycotting exactly? Because nobody's going to the theaters right now anyway. And by the time we are, you're going to forget about it until there's another movie you want to watch. And then you're going to go watch the movie because, I mean, let's face it, if you care that much about the DC universe that you're willing to boycott a studio for not making this content fit with the rest of the DC universe, do you think those same people are not going to go see Batman? They're going to not see The Flash? I mean, that's their primary demographic. Those are the ultra fans. Of course they're going to go see The Flash. So even the boycott, it doesn't scare the studio. Now, again, the sad part about this is I think they should make the Snyder Cut canon. It was far superior and it has a lot better world building. And it gives them branching out points for all kinds of different stories for all these characters. So they should. And I think that they will.
Didn't they come out and say there was no sequel to this movie, though? So what does it matter?
Well, there was going to have been a sequel.
There's no sequel. Right. There's no official sequel to the movie, but there are these other related films that are, I mean, it's just like you look at the MCU. Sure. Iron Man had Iron Man 2 and Iron Man 3, but then you had Avengers or you had, you know, something else, which is not a sequel to Iron Man, but it's a related film.
Right.
Zack Snyder was supposed to have had 3 Justice League movies. Instead, it kind of got retconned to be that his quote trilogy is Man of Steel, Batman versus Superman, and Justice League. But there were supposed to be 3 Justice League movies. That was the plan. So there was a planned sequel to this movie.
Yep.
But like long ago, back when the first Justice League movie came out, they decided, remember they had that big powwow and they said, we're reassessing how we're going to do all the DC stuff. And powwow, I guess, is that insensitive? Maybe we shouldn't use that term anymore. I don't know.
I don't know. They had a meeting.
And they decided they were canceling a bunch of stuff. I thought there was supposed to be a Cyborg movie. It got nixed. The Ben Affleck Batman movie got nixed. There were other projects that were being worked on, lesser projects. Those got nixed. Carrie's in the chat room. She probably knows a little bit more about the details because they do DC Talk, which, by the way, you should listen to because they're also discussing this topic, but from a completely different perspective, a different aspect of it. So check out this episode of DC Talk that's going live. But I think that, like, at that point, they just said, you know what, we're going to take things in completely different directions. We're going to have what's now the Earth 2 Batman. We're going to have the Joker movie. We're going to have, like, all of these other things and not a connected universe anymore. But that was a direction change. Originally, this was going to have been an ongoing continuity.
Yeah.
It's a mess. Whole thing's a mess.
It is. It is. It has been, and it never will not be.
I agree.
I'm wondering if there's any form of production in place in terms of writing or anything that's been shot or anything like that that so directly refers back to Whedon's version of the film that would prevent Warner Brothers from saying the Snyder Cut is not going to be the canonical version. Because otherwise, why not just make the Snyder Cut the canonical version if that is what's overwhelmingly agreed upon by the fans that it's the superior movie? Then if there is going to be any referential material to the Justice League, that's the one that they choose. I don't know.
Well, the funny thing is,
but then again, that also puts the fans in the driver's seat. So like this, there's this really reluctant piece of me that says like, it's the weird thing. I mean, it's the economics of film or really any creative thing that you're creating something and it's yours. But once you are going to put it on the market, you ideally want the market to accept it because that's going to increase your profits.
Right. Yeah. It's the customer's always right.
There's only right. And the thing is, there's only so much of that you can do. Right. When you make a film, it's not easy to just simply change a film. And, you know, sometimes we see remakes every 5 years. Sometimes we see a remake 20, 30, 50 years. And, you know, and then, you know, that's the new vision. And in most of those cases, it's not because because people didn't like the original. It's because people did right. like the original and they try to modernize it.
Yeah, it's a totally different mentality. Mm-hmm. I think,
yeah.
to your point about is there anything in the Whedon cut that would prevent them from just taking the Snyder cut? I think it's the opposite. I think that it's what's not in the Whedon cut, because if you look at the Whedon cut, there's nothing about it that, like, if they took it out, they would have to go, like, explain away.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is that the Snyder cut has additional things now that need to be referenced at some point. You can't go on with the Snyder cut and not wrap up the plot thread about Darkseid and not wrap up
right.
the thing about Flash time travel, which is going to be in the Flashpoint thing anyway. And Lois being this thing, which, by the way, that's already now a broken plot point in Batman versus Superman. When the Flash travels back in time and talks to Bruce, and then he's like, wait, am I too soon? When he's trying to warn Bruce that Lois is the key. That whole scene now in Batman versus Superman didn't make any sense with what they did with the Joss Whedon cut. Now it makes sense with Superman, with Justice League,
right.
and presumably where that was going to go. So now you've got different story elements that you have to do something with. You have to do something with Lex Luthor and Deathstroke and possibly the Injustice League. You have to do something with Darkseid. You don't necessarily have to do anything with Martian Manhunter because it wasn't really a big plot point. It was just a cameo, but people are going to want it.
Right.
So that's the danger. It's less about, you know, is there anything in the Joss Whedon cut that we can't leave behind? It's that it's all the obligation that got introduced with the Snyder cut. That's why they don't want to touch it, because now, like, after all of these meetings and all of these flip-flops back and forth, DC's like, we finally got an idea. And I'm sure behind closed doors, executives have said, we're sticking with it. No matter what happens, this is it. This is our solution. We're going to die on this hill. This is it. No changes. And then the Snyder cut comes out and the fans tell them what they really want. And the executives are like, no, we said no changes, no changes. This is it.
Right. Yeah, it's... I don't know. It's such an interesting mentality. I mean, obviously we've talked a lot over on Echo Base and Force Chatter about the sequel trilogy and the fact that it was very disjointed. They didn't seem to have a congruent plan, that kind of stuff. There are good parts of those movies that we've all identified, not so good parts of it. And again, that kind of overall disconnect as a trilogy.
Yeah,
I don't think any one of the three of us, or even the four of us, including Tom, has ever said, damn it, they need to be remade. Those are the movies that we have. And I think it's pretty, you know, we're pretty in touch with reality to accept the fact that they're not going to remake those movies. It would be a silly thing for them to do. You know, we're all also big Indiana Jones fans. Kingdom of the Crystal Skull is generally the Indiana Jones movie that I don't recognize as having existed. I demand that it's remade? No, I don't. I just simply choose not to watch it. That's all.
I mean, the demand
exactly
is that you bring us more Indiana Jones and maybe try to make it not suck
make
this time.
Make it better. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I have no problem with a remake. If the fans wanted the remake of something down the road, years later, you know, five, whatever, you know, that to me is different than what we got with this. You know, this whole thing of,
yeah.
No, not part of the canon, get rid of this thing right now and do something different down the road.
Yeah, the word remake applies, but it's a very, very different thing.
Different.
One is like revisiting a movie and making a new version of it. The other is, no, fix what you just did. That doesn't count.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's a dangerous precedent, I think, to set. But we do have one more story item.
Okay.
This is a little bit shorter. It was announced recently that Comic-Con, San Diego Comic-Con, the big one.
Oh, yeah.
They're still not doing it this year, except they are going to do a special thing Thanksgiving weekend. Because by then, clearly the pandemic will be gone completely.
Oh, of course.
I mean, it'll be... So right now, the direction in which things are headed, it seems like there's a likelihood that by November, people will be able to travel again, etc.
Yeah, I think so. Okay?
So let's operate under that assumption for now, for the sake of this argument. I know people want to get to, trust me, if anybody wants to get out and travel and see people again, it's me, okay? Desperate. However,
right.
Thanksgiving weekend, that is the biggest travel weekend in the United States of the whole year, and for a very specific reason. They're not traveling to go to Vegas. They're not traveling to go to Mount Rushmore. They're traveling to see their family. That is the reason they travel. If you are having a big event like Comic-Con, and that is going to be your big return to Comic-Con, number one, Thanksgiving weekend is probably a bad weekend to have it, because you're going to have a really hard time explaining to everybody else in your family, especially if you've got a larger family who's not made up of a bunch of geeks, why you're going to leave the family, which for a lot of families, that's like the one time a year where people get together, so you can go hang out with a bunch of nerds. But wait, there's more. We've had a pandemic for a year and a half. Nobody's gone anywhere. No birthday parties, no Christmases, no Thanksgivings, no Easters, no whatever else you celebrate. And then the first major holiday where people may be able to travel again is going to be Thanksgiving. People are dying to get out and travel for Thanksgiving. You think travel in previous Thanksgivings was bad? Don't even get on the roads this coming year. And don't even bother going to the airports. It's going to be a madhouse. But you think you're going to open up Comic-Con and get people to actually show up there?
This is the equivalent on a much larger scale to getting married and scheduling your wedding for a holiday
weekend. On Christmas.
Well, I mean, the other ones too, but people do that. But it's like, now it's like, okay, I got the holidays there. It's selfish. And that's what this is for them. I mean, you're making people that haven't gone to a con in 2 years choose between the con or family.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Family should win. And I love cons.
I agree.
Here's the other thing, too. There are a lot of people who not only have not gotten to see family members for a long time, but who this will be the first family gathering without some of the family because they've lost people.
Right.
This is also going to be the first time a lot of grandparents are going to get to hold their grandkids for the first time for all the babies that have been born in the last year and a half.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I work with someone who just became a grandfather. He's not going to get to be in person with that grandkid for a long time. Yep. You think he's going anywhere but to see that grandkid on Thanksgiving? Or that those parents are going to be planning to go to a comic book convention?
I mean, there's a good chance that we're going to have a significant percent of the population vaccinated by November.
Yeah.
But I still don't see us having a gathering of those kinds of numbers of people in one place. And I know it's not going to be as big as it's been in the past. They've said that, but still, I mean, I don't want to get into a room with 1,000 other people.
So here's my take. One, I think, you know, with what you said, Lou, is that it's not going to be as big as it was. I agree with that. And they kind of, they made a follow-up statement a couple days later that seemed to allude to the fact that they will be capping attendance smaller than, you know, what has typically been there. And of course they'll pay heed to whatever state and local rules are in place and that kind of thing. And hopefully there will still be some kind of law or ordinance in place that does, you know, cap some of the attendance. Probably still require masks. They were seeing a lot of, in fact, in New York State, they said that, like, quote, large events, and they really didn't define those very well, but they said large events will require vaccinations. They will require proof of vaccination. So that could be an option for them. And of course, we're a number of months down the road that, you know, they haven't put these rules out, and they're probably not going to put them out until, you know, September or something like that. San Diego Comic-Con is also largely a media event. There are fewer general fans that get to go to San Diego Comic-Con relative to media.
That's true.
And they do expand that definition of media pretty liberally. So, you know, podcasters and bloggers and YouTubers and all that kind of stuff do get to go there. And it is predominantly a media event. There are very, very few, hey, I just want to go to a con kind of fans that go there. So I think that from they're limiting it. It has been limited to a large extent to kind of that professional perspective, whether you're paid or not. You know, initially when I first saw it, I really just kind of laughed and said, like, yeah, right. Good. You know, not a good decision.
Yeah.
But I think that it's probably going to be somewhat feasible for them to be able to do it. I don't think it's as completely off the rails as my initial reaction to it had thought.
I think it'll be feasible to have it happen. I question the timing, though, because even if you just call it a media, and you're right, but even if you just look at it from the media point of view, those media members still have families that they still haven't gotten to see.
Do you think being fully vaccinated would be a requirement?
It may probably be. Yeah. I mean, it's going to be. So here's the thing: for right now, it's going to be for travel. And a lot of people are going to have to get on airplanes. Mm-hmm. And there are people who come in internationally for it. I think that in some way, shape, or form, you will have to have some proof of vaccination. I don't know. To me, even if you don't.
Here. Hey,
hi.
Eric pointed in the world. Hi, Eric.
I would love to know whether that's my computer or my internet connection. I blame my computer,
I don't know.
Frankly.
We were still here and able to talk.
I know,
each
I was
other,
able
so
to hear most of it.
You.
Yeah, oh, okay. I just couldn't speak and couldn't stream it. But anyway, the second question, though, is, you know, Thanksgiving weekend, is that a good time to do it? And I think the answer is no. I think that's stupid. I mean, I think it's just do it the weekend before, the weekend after. I just think that. That's the absolute worst time.
Yeah.
I was surprised that they announced that, what, a week or two after they announced they weren't going to do July.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll be honest. I'm kind of ambivalent. I mean, yes, I do have some measure of sympathy for the, you know, some number of media personnel who are going to be told by their bosses, hey, you have to go to this thing. But also, like, that's their job.
But, you know, you could do it so much easier on Zoom or on, you know, any other streaming platform. Do your own thing. The only reason to have an in-person event like this is to have fans there and to have fans get excited about everything and see things and get stuff and that kind of thing.
Well, fans, but I think also panelists. I think their big intent is to actually get panelists together on, and people together on a stage. And those people, if they're going to be together on a stage, they want some audience because audiences make things exciting and interactive and fun, and they give energy. And I think that that's the actual intent of it. Is that, you know, they've got, who knows, they've got DC and Marvel and Lucasfilm and whoever else saying, hey, we want to do a thing. We are willing to work with you to make it safe to, you know, take whatever precautions and whatnot. But it's been a while. This is how we promote our stuff. We want to do a thing. Let's do a thing. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll see how it pans out. I mean, your guess is as good as ours as to what's going to happen and how it's going to be pulled off. But
we'll find out.
Yeah.
We should pull the plug now before my internet does it for me. Actually, I think I found it's the computer. It's not the internet. So,
okay.
Hey, Windows.
Ah.
Yeah, because everything else on Wi-Fi, just ran a network test on my phone, iPad. It's all good. Love you, Microsoft. Anyway, let us know what you think. Would you be willing to go to Comic-Con instead of, I don't know, I guess some people, depending on their family, they'd rather go to Comic-Con. I don't know. Depends on your family, I guess. But let us know. And let us know what you think of this whole culture of, you know, we don't like what you did. Throw it away and try it again. What's your take on it? Let us know. You can find us in social media at Random Chatter. You can email us at randomchatter@randomchatter.com. Or you can hop over to YouTube and leave us comments underneath the videos. Go to randomchatter.com/YouTube. Hit the subscribe and like button. Hit the notification button too, and then you will be notified when we go live with our shows every Sunday night and most either Tuesdays or Thursdays for movie chatter. And of course, don't forget to go over to randomchatter.com and check out all of our podcasts, get information on how you can help support the network there as well. And that's going to do it for this episode of Random Chatter. Thank you for joining us. We will be back at you with more great entertainment news, reviews, and commentary very, very soon. So until then, take care.